Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Inside Track, Equibase's weekly handicapping podcast, where we give our analysis, picks, and wagers for a couple of the weekend's top races. I'm your host, Ben Kudla, and I'm joined today by Ellis Starr, Equibase's national racing analyst with decades upon decades upon decades of handicapping experience. He also writes weekly articles for Keeneland, America's Best Racing, and AmWager. So please be sure to follow him on X at UberCapper for more handicapping content and picks. So thank you so much for being here, Ellis. Love to have you on.
Yeah, thanks. Just actually, with all the tumult about X, I also have accounts now on Blue Sky and on Thread. So it's all, luckily UberCapper wasn't taken, so people can follow me there as well.
Fantastic. And also Equibase is also on Blue Sky as of a couple days ago. So you can follow them at Equibase as well. So just kind of before we start here, you know, with all of your handicapping experience, you know, when you're looking at a race, what's kind of like the first thing you look at? I mean, it's a big puzzle. All the answers are in there. You know, we just have to put it together and find who's going to win. So kind of like what jumps out at you on the page? What's the first thing you hone in on?
Well, I appreciate that. There's only a few decades there, but it used to be, I don't know if there were. It's actually, you know, fairly simple on its face, as everybody knows from the beginner to the more advanced handicapper. Every race or the contenders in a race can be found by looking at races that are the most representative of today's condition. And you're not going to find that in a lot of races, but in a lot you will. So I'll just give a quick example. I will look at the diagram or the distance of today's race and just divide it up, sprinter or route. And don't really worry about whether it's one turn or not. It's just less than a mile or more. That's one. Second is surface, dirt. Is it turf? Is it all weather? So looking at the horse's past performances, not necessarily, of course, you will go, everybody goes from most recent to oldest, but looking down to find the most representative race where they finished. And then, of course, you know, you're going to also, while you're glancing at that, you might see how they ran that race, whether they ran the race on the lead, where they came from off the pace, and a quick glance at the short comment, and just to see if there's something you might want to take a look at in a video, which you can do with our RaceLens product or a subscription Equibase replays, and see if you think that trouble or effort issue that occurred really cost the horse a place it could run better with a better trip. But it's really what I call representative handicapping. Are there races from a horse's past that if it repeated them in this situation, make them competitive? I use that to just kind of line out or make notes of horses I think have less of a chance, make a couple of passes at that, get down to three or four, and then take a look, as you see in my analysis, like our race of the week, to get down to two or three horses that I think have more probability than the rest.
I love it. It's so interesting. I mean, everybody's got such a different process. I mean, yours is so much different than mine and Christina Black or Corey Patton. You know, everybody's just so, you know, differs their process, and it's interesting to kind of hear what people first look at. So before we dive right into a couple of these fantastic grade threes across North America, this Saturday is another chance to earn your way to NHC 2025 in Las Vegas with Equibase's Race to the NHC contest. It's a free weekly feeder contest on Saturdays at horseplayers.com. Anybody can join at any time, but you must have an active RaceLens subscription to play. So the top two finishers in each weekly feeder contest will make it to the RaceLens Final 50 contest on February 22nd. And the top two finishers from that contest will earn their way to NHC 2025. Also a Horseshoe Casino Vegas four-night stay, and a travel voucher. So please be sure to sign up and play at equibase.com/NHC. So another great show.
Let me add that fans are welcome to use my analysis from the various blogs and Equibase Race of the Week, because I can't play in the contest.
There you go. Look at
and
that.
I'm also double qualified, so come get it.
And you're playing at NHC this March, right?
No, I double qualified. I won a contest at Horseshoe Indianapolis in July live, and then I was lucky enough to win an online contest a week ago, actually 2 weeks ago, this coming Monday. So I'm all set. I got the maximum of two entries and looking forward to another opportunity to make some money.
I love it. Well, huge congratulations. I'll be out there, as you know, and everybody at your Equibase family will be rooting you on for sure. So let's just dive right in. You know, we still have plenty of good races before the conclusion of 2024. So we got our Equibase race of the week, the Grade 3 Native Diver Stakes at Del Mar, and a couple competitive Grade 3 races at Churchill Downs, the Commonwealth Stakes, and the Chalukie. So here we have the Grade 3 Chalukie Stakes, a mile on the dirt for fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up. Last year's winner was Hot and Sultry for trainer Norm Cassie with Ricardo Santana Jr. aboard. Hot and Sultry romped by 8 lengths, which is the largest winning margin in Chalukie Stakes history. That was cool to see last year. We got a field of 8 this year with the number 4, 2 sharp, with the morning line of 2-1. Is she your play in here, Ellis, or are you going with other value?
Yeah, I try and handicap without looking at the morning line, and I see the morning line, and I go, oh, well, you know, I mean, when it comes to actual betting, I might modify it to bet a higher odds horse of my contenders, but certainly 2 sharp is the one to beat. First of all, she comes from the really sharp barn of Phil Bauer. For Rigney Stable. She's done nothing wrong in 4 races. She's very talented. 2 wins and 2 seconds. I mean, she missed by a neck to Brightwork, who was a last year's star 3-year-old in the prioress, last year's star 2-year-old in the prioress. And she just beat older by 8 lengths. You said the margin last year was 8. So if 2 sharp repeats her last race, she could have the same margin. She's been off just about 6 weeks. Her works have been great. There's really no knocks. Last 3 Equibase speed figures are 99, 99, 100 show. She's holding her form. The last race, 100, is tied for the best last race in the field with Pigalle off a 4th place finish in the Grade 2 Locust Grove, and she's dropping down a notch. So she looks really good. She puts blinkers on, which is always a question. I don't know if you ever think about this. I'm curious your take. I always question when trainers put blinkers on for a stakes, particularly with a horse that won, what could they possibly have seen to make them put blinkers on? The horse is going to run better, because sometimes they don't have the effect, the positive effect, if a horse just won. I mean, the horse won, but there must be a reason. I certainly trust Phil Bauer with his 22% win rate on the year. Would be my second pick at 9-2. Okay. And again, she might be a better win bet. I'm going to use 2 sharp, of course, in all exotics and pick 3s, pick 4s, doubles. But Pigalle, certainly, you know, that last race, Locust Grove, was 2 turns a mile and 16th. As we talked about earlier, you asked me, Ben, about how I handicap using representative races. Well, I'm looking for 1 turn races. So I go back and I see 3 back Pigalle on May 28th, a mile at Churchill, a 1 turn mile, the same as this one. She wins nicely. With a 90 figure, 2 before that, last November at Churchill, she wins by 7 3/4 of the 90 figure. And then she wins the Groupie Doll at a mile at Ellis Park, which is almost a 1 turn race. It's 1.5 mm-hmm. turns because they start, you know, up the side there. And that was a 108. And that is the best figure in the field by any horse. So at 9-2, this filly is a horse I will use. And even though her last workout was only 48 for a half a mile, it was the best of 44. Churchill must have been playing a little slower that morning, and so I got to use her. The last one I'll look at is Fancy on the outside. Pigalle has beaten her twice, but Fancy may be a little better now, because one before last, when she lost to Pigalle by a neck in the Groupie Doll, that was the same 107. And then it looks like trainer Brandon Walsh gave her a little time off pointing for this race, because he brought her back at Keeneland for a mile and 16th allowance race, which she was still eligible for because she hadn't won a stake. And she won that pretty easily wire to wire. Cartography owns sticks, but she doesn't need the lead. So I think, you know, if the morning line holds up, you've got 2-1, 9-2, and 6-1. That's certainly worth an exacta box, and maybe play 2 sharp on top of those 2 as well. But that's the way I see it. And Pigalle and Fancy might be the horses that are better win bets, but 2 sharp does look like the one to beat.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, we actually had the exact same top 3, just in a different order. I got Pigalle on top with 2 sharp in second, and Fancy for third. And if we're both going for these 3, I might play a little trifecta box for fun. I mean, we got it putting our heads together, you know. I just had a couple of concerns about 2 sharp. Yes, she does check off all the boxes. Very talented filly. But the fact that she has not run against older stakes company, I think just something definitely to mention, you know. And also, she's never won off Lasix before, which is big. You know, if you look at that 5 Royal Spa, I was really looking at that horse quite a bit, her versus Pigalle. And Rosbach just cannot win in stakes company when going off Lasix. And, you know, Too Sharp seems to be going that way. She's very young, so we don't know. And I do trust Phil Bauer. Like you said, I agree with the trust you put in that barn. But to me, it's all Pagal this race. I mean, 9-2, I think, is a fantastic value for this filly. You know, four-year-old filly by Blame for the Thomas Drury barn with Juan Machado aboard. You know, it's kind of interesting. She started the first three races of her life all on the all-weather track at Turfway. And when she started running on the dirt, I mean, her numbers improved dramatically. In her last eight starts, all on dirt, she has 4 wins, 3 seconds, and a 4th. She averaged a 91.6 Equibase speed figure on the dirt, including her best speed figure, the 108 there, on the dirt. And she averaged just a 67.33 on the all-weather. So, I don't know, just, you know, she just really takes the dirt. You know, four for five in the money at Churchill on the Churchill dirt. She won that Groupies Doll Stakes at 23-1 in Ellis in August by a length, running that career best 108 Equibase speed figure. And second place finisher and fourth place finisher in that race came back to win their next start, including Musical Mischief, who came back to win the Grade 2 Locust Grove Stakes at Churchill, which Pagal lost. But two things I love about that 108. First off, that was her first race ever being off Lasix. 5 out of 8 horses in here are going off Lasix for the first time, which I think, not first time, but I think it's something, you know, definitely to note. And also, you know, after that 108, it's so difficult for horses to kind of repeat that type of number. And the fact that she has another race under her belt in Grade 2, you know, stakes company, I think is a huge plus. Loves this mile distance, 5 of 7 lifetime. And really like that workout. Yeah, like you said, it was probably playing a little bit slower if she was 1 out of 44 for a 48 flat. But I'm all in on Pagal. But I'm going to box those up in a trifecta and probably a $10 win bet on Pagal. There you have your Grade 3 Chalukyi Stakes. So let's just continue on with the Derby City, a.k.a. Louisville, Kentucky. The 10th race on Saturday, the Grade 3 Commonwealth Turf Stakes, 1 mile and 1/16 on the turf for three-year-olds. Last year's winner was Gigante for trainer Steven Aspison. Gigante won by 4.5 lengths under Luan Machado, which is also the largest winning margin in Commonwealth turf history. So got 2 stakes races in a row, back-to-back largest winning margins last year. So field of 9, 4 of the 9 coming out of the Grade 3 Bryan Station Stakes at Keeneland. 5 winners of the Commonwealth Turf Stakes have come out of the Bryan Station Stakes, including last year's winner, Gigante. So I'm kind of going with some value here. I'm interested to hear what you got. What are your thoughts?
Real quick before I do that, I don't know if you watch Jeopardy. Fans that are watching us watch Jeopardy this week, but the final Jeopardy answer a couple nights ago was, did you see it? Was what, you know, basically Maine and Central. What city? It wasn't even what track. It was what city. And only one out of the 3 people got Louisville.
I saw even a Kentucky Derby account posted that.
Oh, it was just funny as heck. Anyway, great race. I love turf, as you mentioned about it. And as you mentioned, the Bryan Station, a bunch of horses come out of it. And I know we're going to queue up a video in a second. My topic is the 7, Laganos. Boy, I wish the 4, again, I handicapped without the line. And he was 37-1, finished 5th. I guess the morning line maker saw that trouble that the horse got in because he's opening at 4-1. But if you want to pull up the video, I'll talk through it.
Yeah, did you want to see the Saratoga one or the Keeneland?
I want to see the Keeneland, 26 October Keeneland, from about 1:15 to the end. This was the Bryan Station, which, of course, a bunch of horses come out of in this race. Herchi, who was the 8 here, was 3rd in the race. Laganos was 5th. Evade was 4th. Those are the 3 main that come out of it. My Boy Prince was 5th after fading. So we're going to look at Laganos, the 7, and we'll pick it up here. And if you want to make, can you make it full screen a little bigger, maybe?
That's about as big as it goes. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Anyway, Laganos is going to be on the inside in the black cap. He's still trapped in horses. He's having to wait outside the horse in the green. Now you see him lateraling out a little bit, but doesn't do him any good, because he's still behind horses and he's going to try and get on again. And then he's going to get weighted because the horse comes over on him. And then he really starts pushing up here. He's going to gallop out probably 3rd or 4th, but the jockey knows that the cause was lost. So the last 10 or 20 yards, Torres, who rode that day, just didn't have much to do with the horse. Before that, or 2 before that, we're going to pull up the other one from August 2nd, race 9 at Saratoga. This was the Hall of Fame Stakes. So this is very similar to this race. It was a Grade 2, actually, so 1 grade higher. It was 1 mile on the grass, And it was for three-year-olds, exactly the same. We'll pull it up about the same thing, about 115. And he is the five, if I remember.
Yeah, he is five, yeah.
Okay. And in this case, he's going to get a much better trip, going to make the lead in the stretch, which we'll see. And so as we talk about this, the last race I wrote, Brutal Trip, again, talking about handicapping, looking at the short comment from that last race, it said traffic. And as soon as you see traffic, it's, hey, I want to take a look at the video and determine whether the horse would have run better if not for the bad trip. So that's true. So certainly a nice horse in this race. It doesn't look that much on paper because he's got no wins, 2 seconds, 2/3 in 9 races. Do we have that, Saratoga?
Yeah, I just played. Did you see that?
No, it's not on the screen.
Oh. All right, let's get to Saratoga.
So the record of no wins, 2 seconds, 2/3 is the reason that he was 37-1 in that last race and 4-1 based off it. So we got the five here.
You seeing it now, Ellis?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great. He's fourth here. And this time he's going to get a much better trip. He's, you know, almost like two over here. He's third.
He made a nice move. I was surprised he didn't win this race. But
well, he's going to make the lead, which is what you want. I love it when a horse makes the lead around the eighth pole. Now he's got, you know, 4 or 5 wide there, going to make the lead. And the horse is going to run him down in this race. Next is going to come from way back to win the race. And there are all kinds of horses closing here. And he's just running, Lagunos is running as hard as he can. He's just going to get beat in the head, Bob should say. I mean, he was going to lose no matter what. But that's his, you know, really good race. And that was, I think, a 102 Echo Base speed figure. So that one and then the trouble last out has to be on him. And I know knock to Christian Torres, but the jockey change to Flavian Pratt is worth at least 3 lengths because Pratt's having the best year of his career.
I agree.
Really good. So that's why, based on the trouble, Lagunos talked a lot about him. The other is Dashman. We've got one more video. It's the only video I'm going to make everybody watch here. Dashman, this is from the Jockey Club Derby Invitational, which is 1 3/8. And you'll see in this race, again, the comment says path taken. And that got me looking at him. So he's going to be, let me pull it up here.
Yeah.
He's going to be, I believe, the 2. The winner has not run back, by the way. The third horse has not run back. The second, so he's, yeah, this is perfect here. So Dashman's going to be the 2. He's going to make a nice move, but he's going to lose critical momentum in just a couple seconds here. He is 1 off the rail in the cap. He's going to try and lateral out. Can't do it. Somebody just took his path. And you see that he slows down there. That's, I mean, my momentum. And believe it or not, I actually checked the GPS chart. You can see he's going to start running on again, but he lost all that momentum. The GPS chart, he went from 39 miles an hour to 36 and a half miles an hour, and then went up to 38 again. That really told me exactly what that comment said by our great chart caller that said path taken. That was his best ever. He got 100 Echo Base speed figure. And I was saying the first and third horses have not run back, but the second horse came back to win the Hill Prince, and that was deterministic. And the Hill Prince, of course, is a really good race. So Dashman also gets a look. What's interesting is he's 5-2. Again, odds lower than I was hoping for because he was 5-1 in that race, but everybody saw it. But Lagunos still a top pick. And then Dashman, I would give a small look for exotics at prices to Oxar Bend Derby, and we'll take it at 10-1 and 30-1 to finish second or third in some trifectas. But I'm on Lagunos here, I think. Even at 4-1, I'll make a win bet.
So, I mean, what do you think about Lagunos only being 1 for 7 at this mile distance?
Well, again, a couple of them were tough, like the Hall of Fame. He makes the lead and gets beat a neck. In the Transylvania Keeneland's mile 16th in the spring, I mean, he's flying late, and he gets beat a neck, a nose and a half, and again to next to beat him back in the Hall of Fame. So I don't think it's a pedigree distance problem. I think it's just, God, I hate to say it. Torres is a good jockey, but he just has not been riding the horse to his best ability. And Pratt can make a big difference on a horse.
Fair enough. Yeah, I looked at the horse quite a bit. I was very surprised at a 4-1 morning line, especially being almost 40-1, you know, in the Bryan Station, another grade 3, and he finished 5th, and now another grade 3, and now he's 4-1 morning line. So interesting morning lines. I like your comment about AK Sarben Derby or AXAR Bend Derby. absolutely love that horse. Yeah, I think he's just a standout. Coming from a Hawthorne Derby where he won by a head, you know, I just don't really see a standout favorite in here to beat. And for me, that kind of lines up for an opportunity and a nice price. Yeah, coming off that really nice win in the Hawthorne Derby, he broke well, laid back in 10th in between horses, about five lengths from the leader. And he's still in 9th after a half mile. And this is where I kind of want to pick this up. And you'll see this horse. I mean, he about falls on his face and gets back up and wins the race.
He also knocks a horse sideways.
He did, yes.
He did. But, you know, it worked.
He also got knocked pretty good as well. But he did not get taken down.
I watched his replay, too.
Yeah, it was something. So he's the number 5 in the purple cap. We can get this to play. He's right there on the rail. He's just a wall of horses in front of him. I mean, it's nuts. Okay, here we go. There he is on the rail, coming into this final turn. Nowhere to go. Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. So he does force himself out. And here you go. You see it right here. Right. Boom.
Bump.
That hits his nose on the turf course. And you think at this point it's kind of done. But he just finds something in the tank, goes in between horses. Mind you, this horse just broke his maiden in the race prior. And here he goes, surging, 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 surging. I mean, that long Hawthorne stretch run, he just gets up in time. And I know, yes, it's just a listed stake. It's not graded. But that was a valiant effort, I think. And to me, it says it all. I mean, you know, so. But he broke his maiden in a maiden special at Ellis Park, where he beat Half Dome, who came back to win a 100K maiden special weight at Keeneland next time out. I love Junior getting the mount here. I think he's just going to be a big surpriser. You know, I don't think he looks amazing on paper, but coming off two solid wins with a 95 Equibase speed figure last time out, his career best, just something, you know, tells me to bet on this horse. And I do love Hawthorne, you know, so shout out to Hawthorne, one of the few family-owned tracks left. You got Jim Miller, the on-track analyst there, really just a stand-up guy. I remember skipping school to go to Hawthorne back in high school. And I used to sell horse shampoo on the backside on the weekends. So I adore that track. So if we get a winner for the home team, I'd absolutely love it. And I do like Evade quite a bit. I had to talk myself off this horse based off the 7C morning line, which I know isn't always the best practice for handicapping, but going for his third start stateside, you know, a couple back-to-back fourth place finishes by a couple lengths, ran a 103 and a 105 here. Really nice class. Mike Maker wins at 25% in turf route graded stakes races at Churchill in the last 3 years. 25 wins from 99 starts. Now, I was standing by this horse in the paddock at Keeneland, and just a stunner, just a classic turf build, and you know, with Wooten Bassett being the sire. So, I think he's going to run really really nice, but 7-2 just seems really low for me. So I'm going to go and try to find some value with Axar Ben. So. There we have it. And let's move on to our Equibase feature race of the week. Remember, you can get free premium enhanced past performances, race analysis from NHC qualifier Ellis Star, stat lines, Trackmaster selections, FlashNet speed class e-graphs, and much, much more. So please check that out on the Equibase homepage under race of the week. So the Grade 3 Native Diver Stakes at Del Mar, a mile and an eighth on the dirt for three-year-olds and up. Last year's winner was Mr. Fisk with Juan Hernandez aboard for Bob Baffert's third straight win in the Native Diver and sixth overall. Small field of six in here, two of them from the Baffert barn. I have a strong opinion, but I read your analysis this morning, so let's hear it.
Well, I have a very strong opinion. Look, I mean, Miramati was highly regarded. They ran him in the Del Mar Futurity last September 2023 as a maiden, but his style right now is go for the lead, go for the lead, go for the lead. And when he doesn't go for the lead, he hangs two back. He made the lead, ended up third. Juan Hernandez gets off to ride Ultra Power. And not only is Miramati on the rail with speed, it's one of the two Bafferts. The other is Ultra Power, who you mentioned Baffert three in a row. You got Mixto on the outside. If you draw a line through his Breeders' Cup Classic, since he had a blinker, he's been going for the lead. He won the Pleasanton Mile, second in the Pleasanton Mile, leading early, and then he stalked in the Pacific Classic and won a 46-4 46 8/10, 111 6. He was a half a length off, a length off. Then you've got Tarantino, who was a claimer, and he was claimed by Pete Ertin, and his only route since the claim was that a classified allowance win October 26th at San Anita, which he led on 46 6, 110 4. Different barn.
And beat Ultra Power in that race.
And he beat Ultra Power. And different barn. So you're not going to have one trainer saying, oh, well, take back. They're all going to use their speed, and it's only going to take two of them here. Ultra Power has just got the correct stalking style for this race. I'm sure he's going to be the favorite, even I think heavier than Miramati, only because I'm just going to see Hernandez, the fact that Hernandez picks him over Miramati. But he was also highly regarded. I mean, he ran last year on Breeders' Cup in the undercard in the Cutter Mile. He ran sixth after a big win at 7 furlongs. Took, what is this, 9 months off, almost 10, to August 31st, and came back at two turns without a prep, and he wins by 7. And that was a 10-horse field, not some of the typical 5-horse fields you see in Southern California. You got a 113 Echo Bay speed figure, which is the fastest any horse has run in this race ever. Then he comes back almost 2 months later, and he gets beat by Tarantino again. But Tarantino's going to go as fast or faster this time, and he's not, even though he battled head-and-head and he's game, Maldonado is a send jockey. And Hernandez is going to be able to sit third or fourth, depending on who else goes with Tarantino, mixed up Miramati, whether two of the three go or three of them go. And Hernandez is going to be in the perfect spot here. Also, by the way, Ultra Power, I looked it up because I was curious, because he didn't have that many routes, a pedigree with Race Lens. Unique Bella, and I'd forgotten, she was a champion. She won 9 races with 2 seconds in 12 starts, 1.2 million, 3 grade ones, 5 for 6 in routes. So this horse, this 3-year-old, even though he's lightly raced, this is still going to be a really, if he stays racing next year, this is a really super handicapped division horse. Also dropping slightly from 3-year-olds and upward to 3-year-olds only, which is important, even though it's allowance to stakes, it kind of mitigates that. So those two feed figures have me. The other horse is Skinner, who's a dead closer. He was 7th and last in last year's Native Diver, closed for 2nd. He was off all the way until November 1st, so just 3 weeks ago, came back and rallied from last of 8 to get 2nd. He's going to clunk in and get the 2nd in the exact after the pace, after the speed horses all get tired, or he could possibly win. I probably would look to bet him at maybe 4-1, 5-1 or better, but Ultra Power, I'll bet as low as about 8-5. I think he's a standout here.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, Skinner in 2nd. I think that horse has a ton of potential, and I love the long layoff with just one race, and I think he's going to run a big race. But John Sheriff has not won a stakes race at Del Mar in the past year, 0-7, which is something. But to me, 100% all mixed though. I mean, 2024 Grade 1 Breeders' or Pacific Classic winner at 22-1 for Doug O'Neill, Antonio Frezu aboard. Yes, people can say it was a fluke, but you have a Grade 1 winner who is coming off a Breeders' Cup race going into a Grade 3 race with just 5 other horses. To me, that's just an easy bet, I think, because the Pacific Classic was relatively a weaker field this year. People are going to bet down those two Baffert horses quite a bit on the inside. And, you know, prior to the Breeders' Cup Classic, Mixto has been running against some really tough company and just always seems to just be there. You know, he finished 2nd in the Grade 2 San Antonio Stakes at Santa Anita to Newgrange, finished 3rd by just a length and a quarter to Newgrange and Newgate. And the Grade 2 San Pasquale finished 5th by just 3 lengths to Newgate and Subsanador on the Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap back in March. You know, and to top it all off, he beat Full Serrano in the Pacific Classic, who just won the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. So there is something to be said for that. You know, Mixto, he's ranked 1st in early and middle pace ratings, ranked 2nd in average class with a 108 and 2nd in average speed with a 102. 7 of his 15 starts, he ran a 3-digit equibase speed figure. Over the last 45 days, Antonio Frezu and Doug O'Neill have finished 1st or 2nd in 13 of 18 races, 72%. In the past 3 years, they went at 21% together in dirt route races at Del Mar, 4 of 19 and 53% in the money. I think it's a really good sign Mixto was running again, kind of so soon after the Classic. He must have come out of that race well. He just had a nice 4-furlong work on November 17th in 47-8. You know, I have no idea what the odds will be. I do think Ultra Power will be bet down to 1-1 or lower. But the fact that both those horses are going off Lasix, and Miramati especially has not won a race off Lasix before. And also, you know, if you look at Ultra Power, He's run three times without Lasix and finished sixth by 17 and 16 lengths, respectively. So I'm hoping to get a nice price on Mixto. I'm just going to do a straight win bet on him. You know, I don't think there's much opportunity to make any money in this race besides a win bet. Could be wrong, but that's just my humble opinion. So there you have it. I'm going with Mixto, and Ellis is going with Ultra Power. So thank you so much for watching, everybody. Thank you, Ellis, for being on. Good luck in all your wagers this weekend, and we'll see you next week.